All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here for another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. Mm-hmm. I am James Haskell, along with my faithful compadre, Glenn Martin, and DK in the background with a fresh cut. We are excited to get into all things Baltimore Ravens. It's been a while since we've been live. We got an exciting guest, as you guys can see in the title above. Glenn, how you doing this evening on a Wednesday night? Calling an audible, baby.
That's right. I cannot wait to be live again. You know, the recorded stuff is cool and all, but I certainly miss being here live with the chat, with the boys. Can't wait. I will say I'm glad to see everyone starting to get back, you know, Ravens Nation starting to get back into talking and looking at what the Ravens can do to get better, because I think a lot of people took some time off, Jimbo. It's a lot of wounds needing to be licked. I think some people needed more time this year. It felt like this loss hurt more than one. I mean, it's certainly right up there with the 2006 playoff run that came to an end. Obviously, the 2011 playoff run that ended the way it did. But this might even beat them. I mean, it really knocked some Ravens fans on their tuchus. But we're back. We're ready to try and help figure out how this Ravens team can get better and hopefully get over the hump that right now is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to talk about what the Ravens are going to do in this offseason. I know some people are more pessimistic than others, but I'm ready to fend off all the pessimism, and I'm fully entrenched in the faith of the Baltimore Ravens front office, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. So, why don't we have Cole hop in here? Like Glenn said, we're going to dig into the offseason strategy, right? We're going to talk about draft positional strengths. We're going to talk about free agents. You know, areas of strength, areas of need. We're going to talk about our current free agents, as in Ravens players that are hitting free agency now that we're going to try and retain, all those things. So we might as well bring in the man, the myth, the legend, Cole Jackson. Cole, how you doing this evening, my friend?
We're back, boys. We are back, and it feels real good. I'm like Glennie just said, I did get knocked on my tuchus. That's a good way to put it. And I was a pretty damn poor sport about it. I've basically faded. This is the first piece of content I have done since we lost. So what's up, everyone? Glad to be here. Getting ready. You know, I've been watching a lot of draft prospects in the background, but I'm ready to just kind of cut it up and dive right into it.
Yeah, no, we're going to put the past behind us. Glenn, what's your saying? You need the sunglasses, right?
Oh, dude. Future's bright. I need shades because the future's so bright, and it's bright for the Baltimore Ravens as well. We know how they work. They'll get us back to contention, have us cheering in January, and hopefully this time get it to February. I do want to start. Let's see here. I guess we should
start. Yeah, we got to talk about it at least a little bit.
Yeah, we did a video, I guess, a couple weeks ago now, where we first heard the news of Zay Flowers and some allegations and all that stuff from the Boston PD, and then they coupled with the Baltimore County PD. And we were fortunate enough to have a Sean Pisker, a member of our fan base, who's a police officer as well, kind of come on and help tell us, at least from a legal standpoint and the information that we knew. And we just kind of talked through the what ifs of the situation. But since then, as of the last couple of days, there has been another report out that's showing that the investigation into Zay Flowers from the Baltimore County Police has been closed. Is that the way they play? Yep. Okay. So it's been closed. And now that doesn't mean it can't be reopened, but as of this moment, the investigation is no longer taking place. So certainly good news for Ravens fans that Zay Flowers isn't in any legal trouble. But Jimbo, I guess I'll start with you. Do you believe that this kind of makes sure that he's not going to have any trouble from the league or the Ravens, or do you think that's still be determined?
Yeah, I think that's yet to be determined. We've seen similar scenarios, right, where even ultimately because of a bench trial, different scenario, right, with Greg Hardy. That's his name, right, Greg Hardy? Yep. He was eventually, I don't even know if it's the right word, he was found not guilty. I don't know if exonerated is the word. But he certainly found not guilty due to the local law in the state in which he was charged. So what I'm trying to say is that he was found not guilty and he was still suspended. Right. And I even think
wasn't Big Ben.
Yeah. Not guilty. Suspended. Yeah. Same thing with it wasn't also Zeke Elliott and then not get, you know, he was suspended.
Jimmy Smith for Baltimore.
Not guilty. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Smith.
Not he was, guilty. I don't believe he was ever charged with anything, but he was suspended for 4 games in 2018.
Right.
And it's all about the personal conduct policy, right? So they can apply that to, it's like any employer can apply that to anything that they believe made the employer look bad, basically. Is that's personal conduct policy. It's like we all sign those when we go to our own jobs. So yeah. I would say unlikely, but definitely it's, you know, and plus it seems like they suspended the case with new facts. You know how that thing that goes, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not, I don't think it's gone, but it's definitely, there was not enough evidence from the investigation to file charges.
And look, yeah. he and Under Armour both felt confident enough that he was out there, you know, doing a thing for Under Armour and stuff like that. And I'm sure that's something they take into consideration as well. So it seems to be moving on. The only thing I want to say is that, you know, obviously I hope that her and him resolve things in the best way that is healthy for them. And that for the sake of him and her, that like he learns from this and he's able to develop as a man from this. He's able to properly look himself in the mirror, because whatever the scenario was, he was in an inappropriate situation. And I think that, you know, whatever the details, we don't know all of them. We never will, but it's clear that he was in an inappropriate situation. So he might need to mind who he keeps around him and how he acts in situations. Like, let's hope that he just matures and this isn't a cycle, right? Because no one wants to support a guy that's a terrible human being. And I'm not accusing him of that, but obviously a repetition of things such as this would make it hard to defend that he's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's just hope this is a blip and we'll move on from there. But moving on to the rebuilding of this roster and the offseason game plan, I guess the place I want to start, and it kind of ends with what we saw last year. And I think part of the reason why everybody was so bummed out is that it just seemed like last year the stars aligned and the players have talked about it, to have this collection of talent under that salary cap, getting guys for value, I think found up and down the roster, from whether it was through the draft and getting production from maybe a late round guy, or certainly in free agency, they nailed it and knocked it out of the park. So Cole, I'm going to start with this question. What's your confidence level right now that the Ravens can get this roster back to a similar level of talent that they had last year?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and it's timely because we just saw Brad Spielberg for PFF just put out a chart that uses their PFF WAR metric to show unrestricted free agents, where they were signed and how much WAR they produced. And Baltimore actually ranked as one of the best, which is funny when you think about it, because due to the Lamar Jackson contract situation and when that contract ended up getting done, we were not active in free agency. You know, the first couple of days went by and they had re-signed Justice Hill and, you know, a couple other minor signings, but nothing else had happened. So, I mean, the question is, where did that WAR come from? And it's really simple. It came from Kyle Van Noy and Jadeveon Clowney. They hit on two of, if you did a ratio of performance to cost for free agents, they would be the top two in the league. They were literally combined for $3.4 million cap hit, and you got 78 pressures and 11 sacks out of Clowney, and you got 53 pressures and 9 sacks out of Kyle Van Noy. They were both top five pass rushers on the team on a top defense. So it was just the return on that investment at a critical position of need, especially with Ojabo, who did not pan out this year, obviously due to injury, and Owe kind of failed to take that next step that we were all hoping he would take. So though that, it was just such a critical hit that, and going into next year, it's kind of the same needs again, right? Like we're talking about need to address the O-line, need to address the edge rusher situation, and need to address wide receiver. Like it feels like we need to do every single year. It's going to be really tough. It's going to be tough with limited resources. Their salary cap situation is not in a good state. They only have 8 draft picks going into this draft. They're obviously picking at the bottom of the first round where they need premium draft capital. So not to be a negative Nancy on the situation, but it's just a reality is going to hit. Like this is a daunting task for Eric DaCosta and his staff. It's not going to be easy. And in order to replicate the talent on the roster, they are going to have to find a couple guys to bring lightning in a bottle like Clowney and Van Noy for cheap.
Mm-hmm. Now, so what I'm hearing after all that, Cole, after all that waxing poetically, is there's a chance.
Hey, you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance.
There's a chance.
That's all we need. Laura says, hey, wondering, has there ever been a team that lost this many coaches as we did? By the way, hello, guys. I mean,
I didn't even get into the coaches. Like the fact that like Keith Williams is now gone, now like just gone. I had to laugh at the fact that Eric Bieniemy was employed by another team but working with the Chiefs.
Yeah, like what are we doing?
The Chiefs have lost nobody, and yet we've been ravaged.
Like, even the guy they lose is going back, giving them a chance before the championship. Just
like, was he sitting there wearing a Commander's hat, like chilling with the boys before the game? Like, it was the most bizarre thing.
Yeah, and of course, losing Ortiz didn't help in the front office with this job that they have upcoming this offseason. Well, Jimbo, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe? Mm-hmm. Do you agree with Cole? Is that your area of concern? Is the offensive line, the edge position, wide receiver? Would you add to that list? Because I'm gonna keep these written down.
Areas of concern for me. I think the only, yeah, like those are the three areas of concern. But my only real area of concern is the offensive line. All things considered, I understand everything that you're saying, Cole. But I think that I would put Eric DaCosta and his teams back against the wall with their ability to draft well. And then paired with John's ability to develop players. Like, who thought Geno Stone was going to be anything, right? When Gus came on, who thought Gus was going to be anything? Who thought Keaton Mitchell was going to be the talent that he is? Now, I know that there's example after example. That's what I'm leaning on to combat in my mind the reality of what you're saying, right? Like, it is all the things you're saying are absolute reality, but I'm hoping that those things between the ability to draft and the ability to develop players, the Ravens can continue to get the highest return on investment when it comes to impact players that they'll probably need to in order to continue to compete as a team. But for me, Glenn, to answer your question, the offensive line, because as daunting of a task it is, you still got eight and you need to keep eight healthy. If you don't, all the other stuff you can throw away. You know what I mean? You can have the best pass rush in the league. What's the kid that played for Louisville and then was in the Patriots? He's now our only backup quarterback.
Malik Cunningham.
Yeah, you want him under center? You know what I mean? So for me, like, it's just you gotta create a fortress up front. You know, get a moat around the castle, and you got to protect eight. Because if that's the case, we've seen Lamar Jackson do incredible things, become the unanimous MVP, throwing to no one. Like,
that's a fact.
Outside of the Ravenist Ravens fans, can anyone name anyone outside of Marquise Brown that Lamar Jackson's throwing the ball to in 2019? Very few people can do that consider themselves Ravens fans.
Yeah.
So, million words, but my answer is we've got to get the O-line right. And I kind of want to talk about this, Cole, as a part of the offseason strategy. Because Glenn and I talked about this in one of our previous videos, and we want to get your thoughts on this. So, as far as we understand, if they do a post-June 1 cut to Ronnie Stanley, they would save $15 million, but they would incur $11 million in dead money. So where are you at with Ronnie? Because I know there's a lot of things to consider. You know, it's, in my mind, we kind of walked through this. In my mind, at first I thought, give me my $15 million and see you later, like hit the bricks, right? But Glenn was like, well, who are you playing a left tackle? You putting McCary there? You're going to draft a guy in the back half of the first round and put all your chips, you know, your eggs in that basket, per se? What's your take on Ronnie? He's a $26 million cap hit this year, and what are your thoughts on how the Ravens should handle it?
It's a great question, and I mean, it's the key question, right? Because you also have Morgan Moses on the opposite side, where it's another situation. Well, it's actually a different situation because the cap savings is very appetizing. You save 5.5, and it's only like 1.8 dead. So that's like a pretty good go-to, but Moses has been really solid, right? So but with Stanley, it's like 11 mil just spend on nothing. So here's how I view it. When you're drafting in the bottom of the first round, I actually spent some time doing this. So if you go through the last 10 years of draft classes, there is no day one starting left tackle drafted outside of the first round except for Donovan Smith in 2016, 2015, and Cam Robinson in 2017, if I have the years right. Those are the only two guys drafted outside of the top 20 that started at left tackle as a rookie week one. That is absurd. And we're picking at 30. So it's not even like, and yeah. I mean, the rebuttal to this is it's a deep tackle class. Seems that way, but then you dive into it and you have JC Latham, you have Talese Fuenga, you have Amarius Mims, you have Tyler Guyton, all tackles projected to go in the first round, all tackles that have only played right tackle as college football players. So now you're like, oh shit, like I need a left tackle week one. So it's just one of those things where I completely understand the cap situation. I completely understand the savings. Completely agree Ronnie Stanley is not a $26 million player. But who the hell are you replacing him with? Now, so the question is, now what do we do? There's one scenario that makes sense in my head, and that is if, and it's the problem with doing this is, you have to designate him as a June 1st, a post-June 1st cut. Mm-hmm. So you don't get that money till after June 1st. So it's not helping your cap situation right away anyway, but they would have to sign a veteran to play left tackle that they can trust. And there's really only one guy that's going to not eat more than the $11 million you're eventually going to save, and that's Trent Brown from the New England Patriots. So, like, the scenario in my head for what's the path to do this is literally cut Ronnie, sign Trent Brown, and save no money, but you have a better left tackle. He's a little bit older, a little bit of an injury concern, but he's
far heavier.
A little bit heavier, a little bit better fit for a gap scheme. That's what the Patriots have been running. It looks like Todd Monken wants to be kind of, you know, that empty four, or not empty formation, that five-man protection formation, spread guys out, run zone. Like, they want that athletic guy. So the problem is Ronnie Stanley's skill set, if he's not hurt, fits what you need in the Todd Monken offense at left tackle. The problem is you haven't been able to trust him. You haven't been able to trust him to stay healthy. You know, that strip sack was completely on him in the AFC Championship game, which is unfortunate because he only allowed three pressures in the entire playoffs, but one of them was a strip sack, and that's all stuck in our heads, right? And I mean, you can't have negative plays like that. It's an impossible situation because I really don't think, I guess, so to end with where I'm going with this, you're either starting a rookie at left tackle that I'm not sure is going to be, just based on history, a fit for a day one starting left tackle because we're picking so late, or two, you've cherry picked yourself into one free agent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could add maybe Tyron Smith to that list because he's, again, a veteran that might sign for less, really talented. I would imagine he's just going to go back to Dallas.
Right.
But anyway, so that's kind of the only scenario where it makes sense in my head to cut Ronnie Stanley. I'm not starting Patrick McCary. Maybe you could convince me that, you know, if you get a guy like, I don't know, like the kid out of Yale, the left tackle out of Yale, maybe you could start McCary for a few weeks, work him in, do the rotation, that sort of thing. Maybe you could convince me of that, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, that's an upgrade over Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah, I don't even know if Trent Brown, I mean, I don't know if it's a given that
he's just better. I don't know if he's not, up a lot too.
And he's not trustworthy to me. I mean, look at the way, golly day, Orlando, when Orlando Brown looks better than you.
Oh, man, come on. Well, here's the other concern. I saw this stat, the three most, it showed a list of a lot more than just three, but the most penalized offensive players. I don't know if you saw this.
Yep.
But two of the top three were Ravens offensive linemen.
Left side of the offensive line.
Yeah, playing right next to each other. John Simpson second in the league with 96 penalty yards, and Ronnie right behind him with 90. And then you're going, well, dang, that's kind of tough because you may have to replace the whole left side or go with these guys who are heavily penalized. Now, let's talk about the right, because I know one of your guys, a guy you really championed for them bringing back, they decide not to bring back Kevin Zeitler before the February 19th deadline that caused 4-point-something million to hit as dead money. Does that mean he's definitely not coming back? And then what's the plan for right guard?
Yeah, and I mean, again, we haven't even talked about potentially, like, right now you basically have your left tackle, center, right tackle returning. You're placing both guards. One thing I would add into the previous conversation we just had, because I do think it is important, if they upgrade their left guard, I think that really helps Ronnie Stanley because they had to provide so much help to John Simpson. He literally blocked air all year. Like, it was the same as Ben Powers. They were constantly sliding Tyler Linderbaum to the left side. We'll talk a little bit about Zeitler in that regard here in a minute. Yeah. But that is something, like a guy like Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, who is a very, very good pass protector. If the plan is to draft him at 30 and play him at left guard, then suddenly you have a very athletic, decent pass protecting left side of your offensive line, which I think might help Stanley. So just a little bit of context there. But what the hell are they going to do on the right side? Because, yeah, I was surprised. I really thought because of the dead cap hit, they would bring back Zeitler, just because now you're paying $4 million for a guy that's not on your team. I think he's a vet that wanted to be here. I know for a fact he wanted to be here. They didn't want to, they don't want to be, you know, moving again. I think he wanted to finish his career here. Found a good fit. He had performed. But I have it, from what I've heard, they didn't even have an extension conversation with him, despite the reports that there was negotiating. I don't think that actually occurred. So that is what was so interesting to me. It doesn't mean that just because that dead money has hit, it doesn't mean they can't bring him back at a later date. So we'll see what happens there. But I would strongly urge them to bring him back, just because, again, I think there's a lot of value in considering upgrading at right tackle. And I think having a vet like Zeitler at right guard would be a way to do that. If not, you're basically plugging in two new guards with your old left tackle, center, right tackle, which I also hate as a potential approach, because I think you could get some very athletic, some very high pass protecting guards in the draft. You don't need to do it as early. You can kind of do it with like your second and fourth round pick and get some guys that could maybe start day one. So, you know,
what
that's
what I'm like, Cole, anything. A lot of people like Falele.
Yeah, I need him to lose 20, 30 pounds. Like, he's the most frustrating player. He's one of those players, and you see this sometimes when you not only change offensive coordinators, but you're changing offensive systems. We went from a very gap-heavy, downhill power-running football team. They used a lot more heavy formations. They had, like, Greg Roman loved to provide tight end help and pass protection. Todd Monken fucking hates it for some reason. Like, he does not want to provide help to his tackles. We saw it all year. I just don't think he's a good scheme fit. I think he needs
to lose some weight because he needs to be quicker on his feet.
He's so unathletic. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. And like, he's not helping himself. I think he's too slow out of his way too slow out of his stance. So there's some nuances within his skill development that just haven't got there. But he's one of those guys where, you know, if he does the right things, if he prepares his body appropriately, I can see him making the developmental jump, but there's no way I'm banking on him as a right tackle. If they want to bring in a guy to kind of, and I mean, you saw it when he was rotating in, like he's just not athletic enough. And if he's not the type of right tackle you want to be taking 20-25 pass snaps with no help, like he's going to get,
we got TJ Watts. We got Miles Garrett. That's right. You know, I mean, the boys in Cincinnati too. Yeah, that's a problem.
He was drafted for a Greg Roman offense. That's the reality.
Now, I want to kind of get back to the left guard real quick. Thank you, Asmodeus Donatus. We appreciate the McChickens. thank you. But I just want to talk about the one guy that we really liked. He was our last pick in the draft last year. Just want to say that I got that one right. Just reminding Glenn who the draft master is.
Who'd you predict?
I predicted Zay Flowers and Voorhees.
Damn.
I got those two right. But I just am curious to know what your take is on him. Is there any way he can come in and be the guy that you're talking about? Be that help, you know, be an improvement from Simpson? Or is it, you know, is he based on...
Yeah, I need a Voorhees video, Cole.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Based on what you've seen, no. is it not there? You know what I mean?
No, I think he's... I'm really, again, I think Voorhees is the type of guy that was a better fit for a gap scheme offense. That was the only thing I had. I loved his pass protection. I like how physical he is. I think he's got a hilarious last name for an offensive lineman, just Jason Voorhees. How fun is that? So, you know, there are definitely some things that he does well, and he's just a gamer. Like, he's just one of those guys where I'm never going to take him out of the mix in terms of, but he's a guy that he's coming off an ACL injury. We've seen some guys in recent years struggle to come back healthy right away. Mm-hmm. That said, usually those guys were getting hurt in the late summer throughout the season. We're almost 1 year out from the combine last year when he did tear his ACL. Mm-hmm. The fact that he tore his ACL and still got on the bench press and broke a record is fucking insane. Mm-hmm. So just to talk about what a gamer he is. So he's absolutely going to factor into the left guard battle. I would like him as a better fit at left guard than right guard, specifically because he was basically left guard, left tackle at USC. I want to keep him on his natural side. So I mean, like, there's your week one O-line right now before the offseason is Ronnie Stanley, Andrew Voorhees, Tyler Linderbaum, Ben Cleveland, Morgan Moses. Mm-hmm. That's not horrible. That's not bottom of the league. It's just not very good, right? So it's where can they upgrade is the question. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things where, you know, I think they want to upgrade over a Ben Cleveland. I think they want to upgrade over Morgan Moses. So how they go about it in the draft will be really interesting. But with those five, again, I don't think it's a good offensive line, but I don't think it's also like a complete liability that's not going to be effective, especially like they have an all-pro potential guy at center. If Ronnie's healthy, he can be a good pass protecting left tackle. So, I mean, there's some redeeming qualities there. So yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Jimbo, I got a question. Do you want them to go into this offseason with more of a focus? I mean, I guess they're gonna focus on both sides of the ball, but I see a lot of people saying that the defense, they trust us to draft and develop defensive players, but be more aggressive in free agency and through trading on the offensive side of the ball. Some pointing that we still need a wide receiver who's more of a big body possession guy, even though I mean, I see we have Glenn, that.
That sounds like something you would say.
No, you know, I love coming from other people, guys. But no, this is just, I'm just perusing Twitter.
Okay.
But because I also know we got two pretty good tight ends that can catch the ball and they're pretty big bodies. So I'm kind of curious, do you think, because you said wide receiver is a target, is that the target you want? A big body 50-50 guy? Like, what do you think? Because there's like Mike Williams, T. Higgins. Yeah. There's more than Mike Evans. There's a bunch that could be on the market from free agency.
Yeah, you know, I'm just gonna say this. I don't discriminate on body type. You can be whatever you want.
Coming from a short guy, look at that.
That's right.
Look at
that. You can be what. Look, dude, Steve Smith ain't a hair taller than me. I'll tell you what, and Steve Smith will work any corner you want to put
in
front of him.
Beat the hell out of me in my own house.
Yeah.
You know what we need? We need a tall, fat guy to complete the quad here because we got. I'm the short, fat guy. Jimmy's the short, skinny guy. Glenn's the tall, skinny guy. So we're just missing the tall, fat guy here.
The ginormous, big.
Like, I need someone 6'5", 310. Drop a comment in the chat. Let us know.
Yeah, just absolutely like, you know, like 20 inches.
No, neck. I want sloppy. You know, I want a big boy.
You can give him that Orlando Brown jersey.
Exactly.
Oh God. No, but I mean, oh my gosh. Right. So the way that I see this is I think that, you know, a big determining factor here is what's available to you. And the Ravens have shown flexibility in their attack, right? It's just really about what's the saying in poker, right? That you got to play the cards that are
they're dealt.
Yeah. Right. So like, depending on what the market is, I don't think it's fair to be rigid and say defensively, we need to draft. Offensively, we need to go after guys in free agency. No, we need to play the cards that are out there, right? So if there are guys out there that are worth going out to get, well, then let's do that. And if guys in the draft we feel comfortable with, well, then let's prepare for that. So I don't know if I have an answer as far as what I would prefer that they do. But I do think that the Ravens would benefit from an outside guy that Lamar can. You remember when Joe fumbled the ball and then threw it up and all of a sudden Steve Smith came down with the ball? Like
just a dog?
Yeah, just a guy that you can just like, you know what? I'm not going to look. I'm just going to throw it.
Because I see one-on-one.
Know what I mean? Like, dude, he just looks over and he like draws on his hand and it's just a straight line. You're like, you see that, dude? Just
drawing on the back of the ball?
Yeah. Straight. Go, dude. Just go, right? Just like
golf it.
One of those guys. But look, Zay could develop into that. You know, this is a rookie season. He absolutely took off.
He's a little smaller, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, same idea in that, like, you just got to have the confidence the guy's going to go up and get it.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill can do it, right? So I don't know if it needs to be a giant guy. Look, I'm also of that list. If they said Mike Evans is coming to Baltimore, I would jump out of my skin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Cole, if do you think that it's going to have to be through the draft? Do you see a possibility for the Ravens getting a guy in free agency with the cap constraints?
Yeah, no, Jimmy just kind of hit it. Like, I mean, I'm kind of weird with the wide receiver position because I think they're going to be a 12 personnel dominant team next year. Obviously, you'll still see 11 personnel or like 12 or 21, whatever you want to call Ricard. I mean, should be called a tight end anyway. You know, they're not going to play as many three wide receiver sets this year, I don't think. So it's like either you got to get a guy that is a top two or you got to get depth. And I don't really see the in between there. So it's like either go spend money on a Mike Evans, which I don't think they have the money to do that.
Right.
Or, you know, spend your first round pick on like a Keon Coleman type guy, or probably just draft a guy in the fourth and there's your depth and you're going to rock with Bateman. I don't really see the in between there. So that's kind of where I know that's kind of a, not an ideal opinion, but it's just like either you're getting a guy that's going to beat out Bateman or you're rolling with Bateman. Like I don't see like the way they brought back Aguilar, for example, right? Like that, that's not the free agent you want to get. That's going to be he's going to be your depth guy, a guy that can come in and give you, you know, 30 catches and, you know, a couple touchdowns, but not a guy that's going to be a go-to focal point. I think they want to, again, be that 12 personnel dominant team. Likely's broken out. Mark Andrews will be back. The beauty about Mark Andrews is we don't have to worry about him trying to get healthy throughout the summer. He's already healthy enough to play a game. He'll be ready to go. Come around, you know, the next year. Bateman's going to hopefully have a healthy offseason. So again, it's they either have to invest early or just get a depth guy later that they're going to try and develop. That's kind of my take on the situation.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The last thing I want to say, Glenn, you also crushed it with the Nelly video. There was only two things I wanted to add that make this really awesome. There's two people that trust in Nelson Aguilar a lot, and that's clearly Lamar Jackson, and that's clearly Todd Monken. And I think that that makes that signing even much more important and higher in its value because he's not a, you know, he's not like a household name around the league. Not everybody loves Nelson Aguilar. Obviously Philly hates him, but he's done well here and Lamar seems to trust him. He just
he's done exactly what you would have expected him to do, which is kind of what you want out of some of these depth guys, right? Like you want them to go in and make a play. And I feel like anytime Aguilar was in there, he was able to, again, he wasn't going to blow the doors off guy. He wasn't going to be making contested catches, but he also wasn't fucking up and dropping the football, which, you know, was what plagued him throughout his career. Right. So, you know, there's a couple guys out there. If you look through, like maybe you want to roll the dice on like the Texans got some out of Noah Brown. Is that a guy that you think could come in here and, you know, maybe be that contested catch deep ball guy? But again, it's more of an Aguilar situation where he's going to come in on a rotational basis. Yeah. He's not going to be kind of an every down player. So I just think it's either you make the heavy investment or you go for a depth guy. And I feel like they already got one depth guy in Aguilar. I don't think they'd spend on another depth guy given the cap situation. So, you know, folks out there, start studying your fourth round wide receivers. With 2 4th round picks, I think that's where you go.
This is the last thing I want to say about the wide receivers here, just to kind of round this out. Obviously, Glenn, if you have a comment, add to it. But the last input I personally have is, one, I'm not so concerned about the wide receivers, just like, as I said before, I think that, you know, if you look at the Chiefs and their blueprint, they just won 2 Super Bowls after offloading Tyreek Hill. Right? Like they have obviously the best tight end in the league, maybe the best tight end ever. But I don't think it's conceivable to say that he's leaps and bounds above Mark Andrews. And we have 2 of them in an emerging guy like Isaiah Likely, right? So the other cast is what it is. The second thing, so to me, the priority, of course, ahead of that would be the O-line. The second thing is that when it comes to Nelly, it's also not inconceivable to think that he could be asked to do more, and we've seen him do more. Obviously, everyone saw what he did that year in the Raiders. I still think there's more left to be had there and what he can do. I'm not saying he's jumping to a number one role, but I think he can be much more than he was last year in his uses. And it's not too big of a role for him. So
it's fair.
Anyway.
Yeah. And look, I remember last year, everyone saying that this is the best group of weapons Lamar's ever had. This is a great pass catching core. They have 6 of the 7 leading pass catchers under contract for next year. Only guy not is Odell Beckham. So I do find it interesting that some people are already going, now the pass catchers are trash, right, when only one guy is missing. It's OBJ. Yeah. That's that's kind of you know, anyway.
Cole, we appreciate your time. Good luck with the kiddos. Thank you so much, man. We're looking forward to having you.
I know you guys get it.
We'll see you here in 14 days or so. We're gonna be making this an every other week thing. So thank you much. Thank you so much, Cole. Have a good evening. Say hi.
Thanks for having me on, guys. And yeah, folks, I'll be joining every couple weeks. So if you guys want to save draft questions, if there's guys you want to hear about, drop them down in the comments below. I'll make sure I watch them so I can give you guys some opinions on them.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Cole.
See y'all.
See ya.
See you, Cole. Cool. All right. Well,
Glenn, you've been doing good with the questions tonight, dude. I feel like I got to give you a question now. You've been firing all these questions off.
Just trying to keep everyone involved, you know? Trying to make sure everyone's
crushing it with the questions tonight. But
I got notes.
Dude, you are I see over there with your Skip Bayless, got the pen going and the, you know, but I want to talk about a position.
Pen and paper, baby.
That's right. Nothing like it. It's old classic. You know, dude, it's like peanut butter and jelly, baby. Dude, let me tell you what, real quick. I've taken my peanut butter and jelly game to another level. You know why? I make my own peanut butter now.
What?
Dude, I will never go back to store-bought peanut butter in my life.
Hold on.
Amazing.
In the fastest way possible, how do you make peanut butter at home?
Super easy. I buy peanuts. I put them in a food processor for like 4 minutes. Boom. That's it. It's done.
We don't have to add nothing to make it buttery. It's just the dust turns into butter?
Because, well, yeah, it just, at first it dusts, and then from the oil, I mean, from the peanuts themselves, oils it up, and you got peanut butter. That's it.
There's no additives.
Nothing.
No sugar.
No.
No Nutella.
No, dude, it's amazing. So try it.
Damn, okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to say that we haven't talked about the running back room.
Yeah.
I know everyone's excited about Keaton Mitchell, but we don't know what he's going to be. We got Justice Hill. Basically, at this point, we got Justice Hill.
Yeah.
What do we do here?
Yeah, I would be surprised if Keaton Mitchell is really an option next year with the timing of his injury. I don't count Keaton Mitchell as a guy who's going to be productive for the Ravens next year. And if we get anything out of him, it's just, you know, a cherry on top. So I agree with you. Right now we have Justice Hill in the backfield. So, you know, we're going to do some standalone videos on a couple guys that have been linked to the Ravens. But I got to say, I think the answer could be in free agency, Jimbo. I mean, look, you've seen this team find running backs as undrafted guys. So certainly they could do so. They could go down that route, get a guy in who's an undrafted, find the needle in the haystack like they did. I mean, it's not like this is long ago. We're talking about Gus and Keaton Mitchell, who were literally the performers last year, were undrafted guys. So that's not out of the realm of possibility. They could also draft a guy. They've had plenty of luck doing so, drafting. But look, don't be surprised if Derrick Henry's not here, because you can get him on the cheap. He's an older guy, a guy who I think wants to make a run at it. And so don't be surprised if they don't add a little bit of a little flash to the backfield. Or, I mean, look, if they really want to get a little flashy, they go call Saquon. You know,
dude,
what I'm saying?
Let me tell you what, we're gonna have a whole video on this.
Yes.
Make sure you guys stay tuned. But I agree with you in that they could go dive in the running back free agency market, because Eric DaCosta has always found unique ways to gain value on the money, like to get value on the money spent.
Yeah.
Right. So if maybe you pay more in an undervalued market, but then at that player playing here, while the market undervalues that player, we might not undervalue that position.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of, we did something similar. Oh, dang it. We talked about this before, and I feel like it had to do with the tight end room. But, I just think that Eric has always been unique in the way that he does this. So I wouldn't be surprised either. The Ravens take a swim.
Yeah.
Check the temperature of the water at the running back room. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Now, Glenn, we talked about this idea. I don't know if you have it prepared, though. Do you have – remember we talked about the one thing – In each area. Do you want to save this for another video?
We could circle back to that as a standalone video, because I do kind of have a question. I've been seeing a lot of people lately talking about Marlon Humphrey and the cap savings that the Ravens could have if they got rid of him. I've even seen trades linked to Marlon Humphrey and being traded elsewhere. Well, I guess then my next question, I already know the answer. I mean, do you have any desires to see Marlon Humphrey not on this team, even if that means saving a couple dollars?
All right. I'm going to answer this question by telling you a story. Okay.
All right. Tell me a story.
A confidant, a friend of mine, a family member of mine, who I will not name, did something that I disagree
name
with.
Name him.
No, I can't. Well, I can't. Maybe I will. Did something that I disagree with.
Okay.
They got an asset for free, and that was a Toyota Corolla. Really great little car.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah, I think it had under 150,000 miles on it. They decided to sell it.
Still
it
was, a baby.
It was given to them, so it was free.
Okay.
Okay. And in today's car economy, they decided to willingly sell it because they needed cash at the time. Right? And needed is a strong word. They didn't need the cash at the time. They wanted the cash at the time. And I tried to implore them that you hold on to that asset because the market we are in, with that $4,000, you get nothing close to what you have in the driveway. Not a chance.
Right.
Right? You get a junker that is on its last leg and ain't going to pass inspections. Got four different tires on it. It's got four boards that are rusted. And if you buy a new one, you're paying interest. Dude, you got something for free. Hold on to that sucker. Right?
Right to the wheels fall off.
That's what I'm saying. So my point in saying all that is, like, Marlon Humphrey is 27. He is a top tier corner. And I don't think he's overpaid. Stop it. Because the corner market is out of this world. You want to go swimming in a market? It ain't the cornerback market. I just don't see it. It doesn't make any sense to me. You keep him. He's a Raven in his DNA. He's a great guy to have around. Generally speaking, he's healthy. I know last year he was banged up and he had some bad moments and this, that, and the other, but I think 90% of that was just related to health. So I think it's outrageous. I don't do it. That's insane.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Do you look at corner, though, as a pretty big area of need, even with Marlon on the team?
Well, the one thing let's see. Brandon Stevens is what? He's still under contract, right?
Yeah, he's still here.
Yeah.
Ronald Darby.
So you need some depth.
I think, is Ronald Darby still here? He might not be. He might be
right.
Gone.
So you need some depth.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't see it as like you got two guys. How many guys in the league say you can get, you know, you got two guys that are both that talented? Because I think Brandon Stevens has now played himself into being a top half of the league corner, my opinion. Yeah. That might be pushing it, and maybe I'm a little jaded, but I think he's right there, and I think he's got an argument to be there.
Yeah, certainly coming off this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Year. So, I mean, how many guys can say they got that? I'm not crazy concerned about the cornerback room.
But they do not have Ronald Darby. Rocky Sin is also gone. Arthur Mollett is gone. Yeah, they need to address it in a big, big way. Of course, I do believe they still have Ardarius Washington, Jalen Armour Davis, but at this point, can you really count on those guys producing for you at any point in the middle or latter part of the season? I'm not so sure. So I do think they need to address corner. And see, the problem is, Jimbo, a lot of times we're used to this Ravens team having, you know, double digit draft picks
14,
going into
18. No, 18. I'm kidding. But yeah,
but I mean, picks to have. Just eight. I mean, we say just eight, but they only start with seven before, you know, comp picks and anything like that. But eight picks is not a lot in Ravens terms. Do you see this as a year where the Ravens sitting at 30 already at the back end of the first round? Do you
trade
see this
right
as
out of that sucker?
A trade out? Because, you know, teams love to get in the back end of the first round to get that fifth year option on a talented player. Do you see this as a prime year where we could sit all night? I can see us now at Ellie's Tavern, sitting there waiting all night. That 30th pick, they trade right out.
Yep. The Ravens have traded with the New York Football Giants.
That's right.
For a guy from Germany. They like take a guy that they fell in love with, right? Yeah, no, I can absolutely see that, because I think overall, if I'm not mistaken, the things I've heard about this draft, regardless of position, it's pretty deep.
Yeah.
It's pretty deep. And so, I think the Ravens are going to try and get as many at-bats as they can, because that's their motto anyway. But also because the way Lamar's deal lines up, they need to dig deeper when it comes to the draft. right? They need to invest even more in the draft because that's how you get talent at an affordable price. Mm-hmm. That's where it's at. I mean, so yeah, I think that they will end up with double digit picks. And you know what would be also, you know what would be really funny too is they have multiple second round picks only because Eric is like infamous for having no second round.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, but this would be the year he ends up with like four, or like three, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see a lot of people talking about, let's see. What were they? Oh, yeah. Comp picks. We already, you know, it's the next year. Like, we're not going to get anything this year.
Right.
For Zeitler or any of those. Like, we're not getting anything for those guys. We get, I think, one pick for Ben Powers last year was the only. That's was there crazy, any other?
He was the highest signed. Oh, well, not one pick, but what round did we get?
Did we get the worst we got is a fourth, but I think the best you can get is a third.
Yeah.
Depending on their value and performance. But
We ain't getting those this year.
No.
I don't think we got it. We were awarded any, were we?
I think just Ben, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. But
just one.
Yeah. Outside of that, I don't think there was where there's been other years we've had multiple.
Oh yeah.
But sure. Yeah, I don't think that's the case this year.
But I mean, look, comp picks are great, but a guy like Medabike to leave for a third round comp, even if he gets a third round comp, that ain't worth no Medabike walking out the door. Where did we draft him? I guess it's theoretically possible you could replace him, judging by where we drafted him, but you certainly can't bank on being able to do so.
And this is the other thing I think Ravens fans should get used to. And it's Eric talked about. It's a good problem to have. But this is going to be the makeup of this team. It's going to be Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be a lot of young guys and a lot of old guys. A lot of young guys that are at the beginning of their career and that are undervalued. And a lot of old guys that are on the back end of their career and that are undervalued.
Maybe chasing a ring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You know what I mean? The guys in the middle at the meat of their contract, they're going to be few and far between. I'm not saying it's never
going to pick up. They're only going to do certain ones. It looks like the spine of the defense, like we see in baseball. Yep. We talk about catcher, shortstop, center field.
Yep.
The spine of the defense. It looks like they're trying to work something out with Medabike, obviously Roquan, and hopefully Kyle Hamilton when his time is up.
Right.
But you're right. It's a select few that will stay around for the long term.
Yeah. Outside of that, it's all bargain shopping, guys. The Ravens go right to the back of the store to the clearance section, right to the back. And that's okay because it's a good problem to have. We have an incredible quarterback.
Yep.
I would much rather be in this situation than in another.
Like now, the Steelers?
Ugh.
Now, they if still you, don't know.
Right. If you were a different franchise that can't draft to save your life, then you're in a serious problem. Mm-hmm. If you just paid a guy, you constrained yourself, and now you can't draft around him.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ravens can draft. That's why I'm not overly pessimistic about this offseason. They're going to get it done. They almost always have. I'm not saying they have a perfect track record, but Eric does a hell of a good job. I want Eric up to bat when it comes to the draft than anybody else in the league right now. Just me.
No, I mean, he's been hitting home runs the last few. So there's no way, you know, you could really pick someone above him. I do have confidence in them. I will say I got to imagine in 2011 when we had that heartbreaking loss, we probably felt like, oh, there's no way we'll have a team. You know, it happens every year. So I'm hopeful that
we were a much older team then, too.
Yeah.
At least defensively, we were certainly old.
Certainly. I mean, I think if we would have won it that year, Ray would have hung it up that year. You know, but he came back one more year hoping that we could get it done. And we certainly did. I saw Geno Stone doing an interview. He talked about, you know, how this is home, but business is business. Mm-hmm. We certainly understand that. He earned his way into a massive pay increase, and I'm happy for the guy. But with that being said, I've seen a lot of people still linking or still putting safety as one of the highest priorities this offseason, saying we don't want to give up what we have and the ability to move Kyle Hamilton around. You want to, if you want to stick him at a traditional strong safety role, you're limiting what he can be as a player.
Yeah.
So what's your take on bringing in maybe a veteran safety? That way you can keep Kyle Hamilton in a more mobile, you know, role.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that idea because it's similar to the running back market. It's kind of a suppressed or an undervalued position right now for one reason or another. So you can get a guy on the cheap in the free agency market, an older guy, certainly. And then, but you can also maybe draft a guy later who you think has the ability to step in and be surrounded by a Kyle Hamilton and a Marcus Williams and be insulated enough to play in a role that still allows Kyle to do those things. So I think you can address that in a couple of ways. I think that's a good point, and we certainly don't want to give up on that. So I agree there. Let me get to Asmodeus real quick. Asmodeus Denoto says, I'm 100% on board with BPA. Those
best player EDC available, I believe.
Those are Eric's best drafts. Yeah. So if I understand this correctly, I obviously know what the concept is, but what he's saying is,
well, it just looked like last year, Kyle Hamilton was just best. I mean, two years ago, he was just the best player, fell in their lap. Wasn't necessarily the biggest need, safety. I think to Asmodeus's point is it's best to go into the draft without any glaring needs. That way you can stick to that best player available because, man, did it pay off with Kyle Hamilton? Holy smokes.
Dude, and then so, bro. I mean, goodness gracious, this guy's improved every year. I don't know. At first, look, I know I've said this since we've lost. It's all about show me what you can do in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But it's also unfair for me to not feel good about what the Ravens can do in the offseason. Because they just do it after time for the most part. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at with this whole thing. I'm excited to break down the draft, Glenn. I'm excited to get into the positions. I'm excited to be correct on my projections again.
This is my year. Look, I watch so much. I watch like every year. It seems like I watch more and more film on guys. And I watch so much. Who did I predict? I don't even remember who I predicted in the first. But it wasn't Zay. I know it wasn't Zay. I wanted Zay, but I didn't think he'd be there. Was it a corner?
I think it was a corner.
It might have been a. Oh, you know what? It was. It was the one from the Commanders. Forbes. Yeah. Emmanuel Forbes.
Porter. DK said you picked Porter.
No, not Joey Porter. Emmanuel Forbes was my guy coming out. Yeah, he was my guy. And look, I'll be honest. He didn't look great when we saw him up close and personal in those that joint practice. No. So I'm glad they picked Zay. This year you're in trouble here, Jimbo. I'm coming for you.
Well, I'm excited for it, man. I cannot wait. So I think that's it for us tonight, right?
Yeah. It was we were hoping to have. I was hoping to ask Cole some defenses. We got so caught up on the offensive side of the ball, we weren't able to transition before he had to go. But we certainly will have a bunch. Like Cole said, we're going to have him on every other Tuesday. We had to push it back from yesterday to today for some scheduling purposes. But typically, he'll be here every other Tuesday. And please, if you guys have some, I know this time of year we typically have a bunch of guys mentioned. For like prospects that you guys want us to look at, please do. We'll pass those names on along.
Yep.
Of course, we'll do what we can to watch them, but pass them along to Cole as well to get his expert eye on those prospects and see if they were kind of fits for this team and this culture. But I can't wait to get into this offseason. Every year it sucks when we lose, but I love roster construction. I love it from free agency to draft to obviously that second wave of free agency after the draft is over. I love all of it. Can't get enough of it. And I hope you guys are going to be along for the ride because we will not be we'll make sure you keep up to date on everything.
That's right. I just got a couple things I want to add to that, Glenn. We got a couple awesome videos coming up. We want to make sure you guys turn your notifications subscribe for. We're going to do a Saquon versus Derrick Henry debate. We're going to do official off-season predictions. We're going to do positional breakdowns, obviously draft outlook. And then also look around at the top free agents in the league, just like Glenn said. So make sure you guys stay tuned. That's it for us tonight, folks. We will talk to you guys soon.
See you.